What will a broadcast look like? And what will a broadcast sound like with no crowd in the stands? Can they do it?
Welcome to the Sportscasters Club Radio Show, where it's all about becoming a better sportscaster and a better sports fan. And now, your host, Rick Schultz.
Welcome to the Sportscasters Club Online Radio Show. I am Rick Schultz. Thank you so much for joining us. We've got an interesting theme today. It's going to be part one of a two-part series. We're going to talk about one of the current events that's going on, kind of this, really what's overtaken the sports world right now. The fact that obviously sports are shut down, sports are not taking place. As we record this, professional sports and collegiate athletics are shut down because of the coronavirus. But there is talk about leagues opening up on the horizon, whether that be May, June, July, August, September, whenever that is. And a lot of the talk surrounds playing perhaps in neutral locations and even in arenas and ballparks and stadiums without crowds. And so we're going to touch on that in this two-part series. We're going to talk about what that could look like, what it could sound like, how it affects the broadcast, and how to go about, in part two, we're going to talk about how do you maximize the quality of your sound and your crowd noise, whether it be right now or also in normal times when you have a crowd. And so that's something that in the lower levels, it's something usually you're taking care of by yourself when you don't have an engineer. So we're going to touch on that in part two. But today we're going to talk about just the possibility of playing games with no crowds. We're going to talk about what that will look like, what it will sound like, how it'll affect the players, and most importantly, how that could affect the broadcast, the look, the sound, and your job as a sports broadcaster. So it's kind of a timely topic, an interesting topic right now, some unique times we're living through, and that's what we're going to talk about in this part one and then in the part two, which will come up in our next episode. Before I get into the meat of today's broadcast, we host our podcast on, obviously, you're listening, whether it be on your phone, your device, right through the internet, wherever you happen to listen to us. But the name of our host that we use to host this podcast, this online radio show, they're called Buzzsprout. And Buzzsprout makes it so simple and easy for anyone to host a podcast. That's why we use them. And if you would like to expand your broadcasting horizons, perhaps start a podcast of your own. It's very easy, especially when you use Buzzsprout. They hold your hands. Check out the show notes for this episode. I'll put a link in there. If you click on that link, you'll be directed right to Buzzsprout's website to take a look at what they offer. It hardly costs anything at all. They make it so easy for you to track how many listeners you have, and they make it so simple for you to upload new episodes. So for anyone who's new to podcasting, it is certainly the provider that I recommend, and that's why I use them, Buzzsprout. So go to the show notes, check it out, take a look at that link, and I think it's a great tool for broadcasters to stay sharp during this period. I mean, you've seen a huge influx in the number of podcasts across all industries, but certainly the sports industry. But it's also a great way, even in good times, even in normal times, to expand your reach, to expand your communication skills. And I think podcasting has been awesome. We are almost to episode number 20. We started at the beginning of this year because we wanted to enhance and communicate in a way that maybe we haven't been able to over the past 10 years since we started sportscastersclub.com. And so we're able to answer your questions here. It's been great. It's been a lot of fun. We've gotten into the interviews as well, and we're going to have a lot more interesting interviews coming up later this year. So tune in to our show, and again, check out the show notes if you're interested in perhaps hosting a podcast of your own. Today's program is specifically aimed at this new norm that we're in right now. People are in their homes. There's no sports. So it's funny, when the Michael Jordan Last Dance show was on ESPN, it was like the Super Bowl, because people have nothing else to watch or listen to. You can only watch or listen to so many sports debate shows. The NFL draft, as I record this, the draft is coming up in just a couple days, and that's going to be a huge story. But it's not going to be what it was, because you're not going to have the crowd and the live involvement that you've always been accustomed to. And that's really the case, hopefully, when we get back to live sports. Leagues are talking about playing their games, either number one, in a venue that's maybe in a place that hasn't been affected by the virus as much. Arizona is a name that's of a state that's been thrown out there as a location that's not New York, it's not LA, it's not Louisiana or Detroit, it's someplace that hasn't been relatively hit as much as some of these other venues. But the leagues are talking about possibly starting by having teams play games without any fans in the seats. No fannies in the seats. So how will that work? Will it work? How's it going to affect the players? Well, how's it going to look and sound? Because we're going to talk about it from a broadcasting point of view. I think it's going to look and sound very, very strange. Fans are going to tune into a game. And by the way, I don't think it's a bad idea. I think it's actually a good intermediate step before having crowds streaming into arenas and ballpark. I think it's just smart to take that, dip your toe in the water, get started that way. Because let's face it, most people consume their sports at home on TV, streaming, radio, as opposed to in the stands. The number of people that are in a ballpark watching a game is small compared to the number who tune in to watch or listen. So, number one, you're going to immediately turn on those revenue streams again for leagues and teams. You're going to get players out there playing games, and fans are going to be able to consume it. And consume it they will. They'll buy packages that they didn't have. They will consume things and join groups and get streaming services maybe they didn't have, so they'll be able to watch or listen or however they want to follow their games. Sports betting will take an immediate jump. It's going to increase because all this pent-up demand, people that want to bet on their games, they want to bet on how many strikeouts Jacob DeGrom will have, you know, and all the different prop bets and all the different in-game bets you can do with so many sites, depending on where you live. So that industry will resume and come back to life, the sports gaming industry. But in the stands, if there are no fans, it's going to look different. It's going to sound different. It's going to sound, I think on radio it may be affected even more than on TV, because on television you can craft the broadcast to show less of the stands, less of the fans. And in fact, that's been a big pet peeve of mine going back decades. Too many times a TV broadcast will have shots of the fans and the crowd when, as a viewer, I want to watch the game. When I tune into a game, I'm there to watch the game. I'm not there to watch the two drunk bozos in the fifth row acting like morons. That's not why I'm tuned into a TV broadcast. I'm there to watch the game. And I've always felt that the cutaway shots of the crowd are very much overused in most television broadcasts. Not all, but most. So I think in TV, you can really tailor your television broadcast in a way and show shots in a way that minimize the fact that there are no fans in the seats. On radio, however, and with the audio part of a television broadcast, that's where you're going to notice it. Because on radio, crowd noise fills a lot of dead space, especially in baseball. In a baseball broadcast, you don't have to speak the entire time because someone can tune in on the radio and then it can hear the crowd, that subtle hum of the crowd noise. You may not hear words, you may not hear Cracker Jack or hot dogs here or fans cheering for their specific players, but you can hear that It's not a roar. It's not a murmur. It's somewhere in between. It's a low roar, a low hum of the crowd. Very soothing, if you ask me. And in part two of this series, we're going to talk about how to get optimal crowd levels and how to get optimal crowd sounds into your audio radio broadcasts. But that's going to be a big challenge because it's going to sound so strange. So on radio, if you're broadcasting in the minor leagues, or in professional baseball for that matter, but let's say you're in the minor leagues and there's no crowd at all, you may have the tendency to want to talk more because dead air really will be dead air. It won't be filled by the crowd. And you may actually pick up things on the field. I can remember really Watertown, New York, probably 1995, Bump Wills was managing for the Hudson Valley Renegades and coaching third base. And at the Duffy Fairgrounds in Watertown, where the game was taking place, my broadcast view was sitting right on top of the third base dugout. That's where the booth was. And so it was. I can recall it being so quiet at one point that I could hear the words Bump Wills was shouting at the third base coach's box coming through my crowd mic. My listeners could hear it. And he was full of a lot of great information that he was shouting to his team, so it helped. It helped the overall broadcast. I loved hearing it. And interestingly enough, I remember Bump and I talking back and forth because we were so close. It was maybe 20 feet between my broadcast perspective on the third base dugout and where he was in the third base coach's box. So that was pretty interesting when you get to talk to a coach right there when they're on the field taking part in the game. But the reason I bring it up is without the crowd, you're going to hear more of that. You may hear a player shouting a direction or something. You're going to hear a lot more of the sneakers on the basketball court because there's no crowd to drown it out. So you're going to hear a lot of the squeaks. You may hear an occasional curse word because even in a huge arena, depending on where your crowd mics are placed, if a player, let's say, goes in for a big layup and he gets fouled hard, you may hear a guy curse. You may hear a grunt or a groan or shouting and those kind of things that go on the court, things you don't normally hear. So that will be very interesting, and I'm sure the engineers and the technical folks are going to do what they have to do to make those things appropriate, whether you hear them or don't. But the point of the matter is it's going to be different. On TV, not as big of a deal because you can go with those narrow shots that really focus on the court. Focus on the ice, focus on the baseball field from a vantage point where you don't see so much of the crowd missing. Center field camera, you're going to see no fans behind home plate. And it's going to seem strange. It's going to feel like spring training. Or it's going to feel like some of the college games I played in, where there's nobody there. But the truth of the matter is they can minimize that to some degree. On radio, it's going to, I think, force radio broadcasters, I think, to fight the urge to have to fill that dead air. I think as a radio broadcaster, you want to continue with your same cadence, your same rhythm that you've always had. And so that's going to be the key. Even though there's no crowd there and no crowd mic, no crowd noise, maintain your broadcast as usual. You still want to call the action as you always did with your play-by-play on radio. You just won't have the crowd to rely on to fill those dead spaces and to amplify and excite your listeners as you make a call. But your job should still be the same. And in fact, you may not have to get as high or as low because you won't have to speak over a crowd. You won't have to amplify over a crowd. And so I think it's going to take some getting used to for a broadcaster, certainly. It's not going to be something that is going to sound natural the first time they do it. But if that's going to be you out there broadcasting a game with no crowd, these are some of the things you want to keep in mind and consider. Lastly, and as I mentioned, in part two of this series, we're going to talk about specifically some of the keys to getting good crowd noise when you're broadcasting. But let's talk about how this may affect the action on the court or on the field, the fact that there are no fans. Is it going to have an impact at all? Well, my point of view is, I guess it's specific to the sport. Basketball, players are going to be in the action. And I think for the most part, when they're live on the court, the ball's live and they're moving and they're playing, I don't think it's going to affect them too much, the fact that there's no crowd. I think where it may is in a spot, you know, tie game, 30 seconds left in the game, team needs a big defensive stop. Having the crowd behind you in your home arena, can it give you a little something extra, a little where you can go a little deeper into the tank for some energy late in the game to maybe give you some energy and give you, you know, that extra level to move your game to defensively specifically? I don't know, maybe. Possibly it can. So in that case, I think it may have an effect. On the baseball field, I don't know if it's going to have as much of an effect as it'll just seem weird for players to be playing with no crowd noise. I mean, think about it. Most baseball players at some point in their life played when there were hardly any fans. Whether it was Little League, college, the minor leagues, in many cases they didn't have a lot of fans in the seats, so that noise from a fan base, the noise from the crowd, is not, whether it's there or not there, is not going to affect them that much. They're certainly used to the large crowds and used to that, but I think in baseball it's going to affect you less even than basketball. I don't think it's going to be a big thing at all. Football, we've seen some professional football stadiums where crowd noise is a factor, only in that a quarterback has trouble communicating with his team offensively, calling signs, calling audibles. And so that is where the crowd noise for a home team and that home court advantage may be less than it normally would be. And it may, in fact, be zero. We may see that home field advantage be zero because without, you know, I've never felt a crowd does all that much to add to their team's win-loss record. I think a lot of it is just the fact that you're comfortable, you're familiar with your surroundings. That has as much to do with it as the actual crowd. But you can make a case, as I mentioned earlier, late in a game, tie game, you need a big defensive stop in a basketball contest, and having that crowd behind you maybe allows you to have a little extra energy. Or in the case of football, being so loud where the opposing quarterback can't communicate with his team, call a play, call an audible. That might be a factor. But for the most part, I don't think it is too big of a factor. So I think, in general, the effect on the players is going to be mild at best. I don't think it's going to have much effect. I think it's going to be a learning curve for broadcasters that they will be able to overcome. And they'll be thrilled to be out there, 6 feet from each other, broadcasting the game. And more than anything else, I think as a sports community, as a nation, we are going to be so happy to have sports back. We're going to tune in. We're going to watch. We're going to listen. We're going to subscribe. We're going to read. All the things that we do, with the exception of going live to a game, we're going to do initially. And then shortly after that, it certainly seems like we'll be able to be back in arenas and stadiums to some regard. Whether you have less people, whether you leave seats in between each seat so you have every other seat empty. I don't know. People a lot smarter than me are making those decisions. But from a broadcaster's point of view, it's going to be a learning curve and just another interesting thing you're going to have to deal with in your career. Well, we're going to have part two of this series, and in just a minute, I will tell you what we're going to cover in the next episode.
If you're enjoying the show, check out our 7-hour online sports broadcasting course. We cover play-by-play, talk show hosting, television, and much more. Visit sportscastersclub.com and click on online sportscasting class.
Welcome back to the Sportscasters Club online radio show. I am Rick Schultz. And before we wrap this one up, I wanted to let you know that next episode will be part two. So today we talked about some of the ramifications of professional and or college sports starting back up without crowds in the seats, and how this is going to affect players and how certainly it's going to affect the broadcaster. But next time, we're going to talk about, in normal times, use a crowd to your advantage on a radio broadcast? How do you get excellent crowd noise? How do you use that to make your broadcast stand out and make it sound even better to your listener? So we're going to cover that next time. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of the Sportscasters Club Online Radio Show. We did not touch on any questions from you today, but continue to send them in as usual to questions@sportscastersclub.com. Again, it's been a pleasure being with you today. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in part two next time.
Thanks for listening to the Sportscasters Club Radio Show at sportscastersclub.com. Don't forget to subscribe so you will never miss an episode. And thanks for liking, sharing, posting reviews, and spreading the word.